First of all, spouses of bishops isn't exactly a mass market target. What made you decide to put this book together?
Well, it's interesting. No, I didn't think it was a mass market. Market target. But the publishers were very keen on the idea and thought there really would be a market. And I talked quite a lot about the bishops' spouses about it, and we were in two minds about it because a lot of us don't actually like that kind of interest. We don't quite understand why people should be so interested in us as bishops' spouses rather than as people. But on the other hand, we also felt this was a good opportunity just to get people reading a little bit about how varied the life of an Anglican Christian is all around the world. And that's, after all, what we bishops' spouses are. We're Anglican Christians who happen to be married to people in
that's
leadership.
Right. Yes.
So that was the point of the book, was actually just so that people could begin to see the variety of ways of being Anglican.
Okay. And I know that clergy spouses come under a lot of pressure to have the perfect marriage and can feel a little bit vulnerable if the strains or challenges are revealed. Was it hard to find people to be sort of very frank about their how they dealt with being the spouse of a bishop?
I wanted them to talk a little bit about their own religious background and then a little bit about what they felt when their spouse became a bishop and then a little bit about the joys and challenges. So I didn't ask them to be too self-revealing because I don't think that would be appropriate in this kind of a book. But they were, I think, very honest. There are some lovely, lovely stories in there. One of my favourite is from a bishop's wife in England who has quite small children and talks about trying to make sure that the toilet is clean after her sons have been to the loo, and she knows she's got a big party of people coming in for a formal lunch with her husband. And that kind of thing. So, which I think is the kind of thing that everybody can identify with. But that a lot of people who don't expect to have parties of 50 people suddenly coming into your home would never have thought about in relation to those of us whose homes are very much part of our spouse's public ministry.
And the people that you spoke to come from a very diverse range of backgrounds and situations. Did you, while you were gathering all the information, come across any sort of common themes about how they deal with the various challenges and blessings, I suppose, of being a bishop's spouse?
Interestingly, the common themes were not ones that I was expecting, because the common themes were about a sense of enormous gratitude and privilege that came out from every single person who contributed to the book. Not in a soppy kind of way, not pretending there are no difficulties, but the sense of being where God has called us to be, which I think for any Christian must be the most fulfilling thing, even if it's hard. If you think that's what God is asking you to do, then there is that sense of being in the right place, even if it's a hard place. And that's what came through from, as I say, every single contributor.
Are there a lot of doors that open for you as a bishop's spouse that you think might not otherwise open, or that you feel might be the case for other people?
I think a lot of doors open and other ones close. I certainly have found that lots of opportunities have been offered to me because of who my husband is. But I also find, because I'm a theologian, I teach theology, that there is an assumption that my husband and I have identical views about everything. And that we're sort of joined at the hip in that kind of way. And spouses from the Global South, I think, often make much bigger sacrifices and find more doors closed. A lot of them, for example, have to give up their professional jobs in order to support their husband's ministry. And some of them juggle. I know quite a lot of bishops' wives from Africa, for example, who work at very high professional levels simply because the diocese and the bishop and their family need the money, but who are also still expected to run all the spouses' programmes for the diocese and everything. So I think because bishops' spouses seem to me on the whole an extraordinarily positive lot, most of them talk about the opportunities offered, but there is a cost too.
And it's not something that most spouses of bishops anticipate when they get married, is it? It's not. I know a lot of clergy get married when they're already ordained, but there are very few bishops who get married when they've been consecrated bishops. So How do people generally... that must be a very big strain for some people, that you move to a place that you didn't expect to be.
I think it must. Mm. And interesting, at this conference we've got one or two who did marry a bishop.
Oh, right.
And one, we've got somebody at the conference who's about to marry a bishop, who's yes. come with her fiancé. So that's an interesting one. So we hoped that he would come and see what he was letting himself in. But no, it's a common theme when you talk to bishops' wives. Every single one of them says that if they'd known this was going to happen to them, they'd have run a mile. So they're glad they didn't know because of the privileges that have been offered to them.
Mm. And is it a different experience for male spouses of women bishops? And this is something that will become more frequent. So
it clearly is a very different experience. Mm. A few of the husbands of bishops wrote for me for the book, and I've included a couple of their contributions. And one of the interesting things is how they support their wives' proper authority.
Mm.
And how hard it is sometimes, because all of us who have husbands and wives in leadership know that some of what happens is criticism.
Yes.
And for a man to want to protect his wife is a very natural thing, and they can't. They have to stand back and let her handle it because she's the bishop.
Yes.
And that was something that came out very clearly in at least one of the contributions I had.
Yeah.
But also that there can be slightly fish out of water. We're very aware in this conference there aren't very many of the men, and there are lots of us women, and I think they must be feeling it is a women's conference, and they must spend quite a lot of their time in a role that isn't expected of men.
Yes.
And they have it, I think, enormous grace and humour. They're managing it with real humour.
Yeah. Yes, and their spouses are probably experiencing much the same thing in a sort of a very male-dominated bishops' conference
as well.
Well,
they probably are, but at least the bishops are all there because of their profession. They have their profession in common.
Mm.
Whereas here, we're all from very different kinds of professions and backgrounds. Mm. So we don't have... The only thing we have in common is that we're married to a bishop.
Mm. Yes. Well, and that interests me. I notice that the bishops make a very big deal out of collegiality, but I also notice a very informal collegiality as well, and perhaps even more structured collegiality with a conference such as this. Mm. So how big a role does that relationship and the camaraderie between bishop spouses play?
It's very important for the spouses' conference here.
Mm.
And in some provinces of the Anglican Church, it's always been important.
Mm.
But, of course, for some provinces, it's impossible for the spouses to meet.
Oh, yes.
They can't afford it, or the travel is impossible. So for some spouses, meeting here at Lambeth is the only time they will have a chance to meet. So we've tried to make space in our programme for people to meet as provinces.
Yes.
And I think that we hope that they will then find ways of keeping in touch, even if they can't always meet.
Mm.
But for us here, I mean, there are so many things that you... When you're talking to somebody who isn't married to a bishop, you have to explain, and you only have to start the sentence with this group, and everybody says, oh, yes. And that is just wonderfully refreshing, actually, and it means we can relax with each other.
Yes.
So it is absolutely wonderful atmosphere. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, well, I can understand that. When you were talking about having to deal with criticism of your spouse before with regards to the male spouses, but I know in your particular case, your spouse attracts rather a lot of very harsh criticism at times. How do you deal with that as a loving partner of your husband? How do you deal with the feelings that must arouse in you? That must be very difficult at times.
Mm. That's, again, it's one of the lovely things about this spouses conference is that all of us have experienced our husbands being what we consider to be unjustly criticised. And to be able to talk to others about it and pray for each other and share with each other has been really important.
Mm. Yes. Do you, and I suppose prayer is the response, but do you ever just wish that sometimes things have been a little bit more simpler and that you were perhaps a Mrs. Vicar or a Mrs. Professor at a theological college?
I think wishing for life to be different is a waste of energy. And I would rather concentrate on what it is and making the most of where we are.
Yeah, fair enough.